Can you hear me, guys? I can't hear anybody.
Hold on.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah.
Hello.
You were saying something, Money?
No, nothing. Nothing from me. Somebody else.
Anyway, welcome to the Capital Markets FIG meeting. We have two things to declare before we start. One is the antitrust policy. We have to follow the Hyperledger antitrust policy that is available on Hyperledger. The second is a code of conduct, which says that we have to treat each other with respect. And after this, we start on the meeting. And I noticed several people are on the call that were not around before, and if people want to introduce themselves, that would be great. Let me start with the new people. Jagadish, just have to say a few words about who you are and why you are interested, and please keep it short. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm Jagadish from SwapServe. I work with Mani, and I I worked in $8 token.
Jagannath?
Hi, my name is Jagannath Thotli. I got introduced to this by Kirti, and I'm a blockchain enthusiast. Thank you.
Any connection with capital markets or?
Not much, to be honest.
Okay. Mike?
First of all, is this the Capital Markets Group or the IRSA Group?
This is the Capital Markets Group. I don't know.
I'm on the wrong link then. I apologize.
I think the IRSA Group changed the meeting to this week. Although I don't know whether they're using the backup Zoom or not.
Okay. I was told it was the backup Zoom, but I'll have to go into another one. Thank you, though.
Okay, thank you. This is not their regularly scheduled meeting, but I don't see anybody else from the IRSA group. Jim, are you here for the IRSA or the capital markets?
Capital markets.
Great. Junji?
Yes, I'm with Itaú. It's a Brazilian bank. I used to provide support for the trading desk for equities. And I have been in the blockchain space for the last couple 2 years. I was part of the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance, where I met Viping in one of the token taxonomy events. And I've been joining this group, not consistently though, for the past few months.
So Junji, are you going to make that presentation next week about the security token stuff?
Yeah, actually, since Natalia shared about bonds issuance in our last meeting, and I don't know if we had in the past in this group a presentation about equities, I just wanted to provide an overview from the entire life cycle, from when the buy side places the order and how the broker dealer, they execute the order throughout the several execution brokers and exchanges, about the trade and the execution, the block trade, allocations, reconciliation. I think just providing maybe a holistic view of the process. Primarily, it will be secondary market, but I'm hoping that it would help maybe the folks that might not have maybe a holistic view of the equities process, maybe. So if that's helpful, I'm willing to do that.
Yeah, please. Next time we can talk about that. Mani
Mani Pillai from SwapServe.
you know, working with this group for, I guess, from the early days, have contributed to the ETHOLER project. So that's short for us.
Who else is there that I left out? Karen, of course, who seems to have disappeared.
Hi, Vipin. Satish here.
Yes.
Hello, guys. I just joined.
Yeah, if you wanted to talk a little bit about why you're here and what your involvement is with the capital market.
Yeah, sure. I've been working in capital market for like 20 years plus now. Junji has been nicely explaining some of the things I do as well. Junji, I am one of the, you know, 8 execution brokers you talked about. So I work for one of them. We do end-to-end for pretty much every asset class. With capital markets, I have been in investment banks, Citibank, Deutsche Bank. I've been in retail, commercial, trade finance, part of it. And now I work in execution broker space, venues, exchanges space. So that's what I do. And asset class-wise, we trade everything. All derivatives, equity derivative, interest rate, everything. So that's great. Me in short. In terms of why I'm here, I do see that there is a large marriage that is well due and probably going to happen between the crypto style world and the traditional financial capital markets. So I think it's important to kind of come and contribute. People who know the process and things should actually take those use cases forward with something like Hyperledger. That's why I'm here.
Great. You emailed us about this before last week, right? I mean, basically.
Yeah, so I was working with Finos. Finos is the financial open source kind of forum. We kind of have a big representation in London with Finos. Now Finos is part of Linux Foundation. We don't want to run a separate DLT group, like Distributed Ledger Technology Group. It makes sense to bring the Finos group also folded into Hyperledger. We have a different take on it, but pretty much we are all solving the same thing and contributing contributing into Hyperledger, the code and the processes, you know, that will help everyone.
So I think we should start off with the latest developments on ETHOLER, which Mani and Jagadish can provide because they have contributed the most into this effort. It can be very short right now, but we'll elaborate with a different presentation and demo and other things later.
So Jagdish and I have been working on this ETHOLER CBDC token implementation, I guess for the past 3 months, I would say. We looked at originally at an ERC20 token, but for institutional use, and again, the focus is very narrow to only address the interaction between a central bank and let's say commercial banks, and that's our initial scope is. To meet that, we wanted to have an institutional style contract, and we felt that an ERC-11 device suited much better than other ERC tokens. We made the proposal and we implemented it, we tested it, we gone through cycles of implementing on the contract on various Ethereum on various Ethereum solutions, including Truffle and Linage, and then eventually moved to a Hyperledger Besu, which is more of an institutional private blockchain. So we had the contract deployed and running, and Jagdish had helped build that a command line interface that would actually interact with the tokens. Over the past few weeks, I know that Vipin had shown all the original design of the specification, how it's being implemented in TTF. So I don't want to go into that details.
all that we know that we can say today is that is this all this code has been submitted. It's in open source under Hyperledger. Anyone can take it and build it and test it. And we put out a short blurb on LinkedIn as well. And you know, I hope to get other people to contribute on top of this.
So the main thing to note here is that we now have a, you know, I have built the Java client, and I was able to connect to the running version in SwapSub as a dealer, I mean, as a actually central bank, and I was able to do some things. But I wanted to do a full-fledged demo as a dealer and as a central bank, and to see and to show how the interactions happen. The second thing I wanted to you know, say is that we'll take this forward a little bit. One is Kirti has volunteered to do something on the UI, and I still owe him the specs for that UI, but it will basically be driven by the functions that are already available in the Java client. The second part is that the you know, we will take it forward by demonstrating the UI if it is available, and then we have a couple of other points that we'll talk about a little later. Now I have a two things more on the agenda, and of course open discussion on these topics. One is that there was a, you know, we had started the work in the Ithala project by working on the token taxonomy framework, which was open standard. Well, it was an open standard, but there was a closed GitHub for just defining the artifacts. And the open standard work was what we based our Ithala work on, and we actually contributed back the definition of Ithala. But now we hear that there was a new announcement yesterday about Interwork Alliance, which is basically an organization that has migrated away from EEA, but will still refer to the token taxonomy framework. But their ambitions are a lot broader, and they have an incredible list of participants. This includes people like Accenture, DA, data providers like Amber Data. I don't know whether they're standard data providers. Then there's IBM. There is, you know, all the big, there is exchanges like Six. There are research and development organizations. So I prepared a small slide deck that talks about this and our involvement. And before I present that, are there any comments about IWA or anything else, you know, dealing with this by anyone on the call?
A quick question, just a slide deck, since I'm new to this. I mean, I know EEA, I don't know what the new organization is and in the sense where they're headed. So if you can post the meeting notes, that'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, it was only announced yesterday. So it is unclear to me. I mean, they have obviously a website and everything else. I think I have a feeling that we'll be watching them to see what they're going to come up with. So let's talk about it here. And I'm going to just share my screen, unless you guys have more to say on the topic. All right, so here is, can you see the screen?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, I just knocked it together because, you know, this morning in about 10 minutes. So, you know, please forgive me if it doesn't look too professional. Anyway, so this is the aim of the IWA, standardized token powered ecosystems. We have been hearing about the problems with getting scale and adoption in token powered ecosystems for a variety of reasons, especially in capital markets, because it's a highly regulated enterprise, a highly regulated space. In the end, both the SEC and the FINRA in the United States and elsewhere want to have control over how tokens are created, traded, settled, custodied, and retired. And of course, the life cycle of the token in terms of payments or any other sort of activity. The problem is the SEC and the FINRA do not buy into this whole, the smart contract is the law, narrative. And that's what, you know, Satish mentioned it very briefly there. One was, there is existing cryptocurrency ecosystem, and then there is the capital market ecosystem. How can these two come together? Essentially, that will be what drives the new economy. And this is going to be a very difficult birth, because as with many initiatives, we have the wide spectrum view. That is, on the one end of the spectrum, everybody wants smart contracts to drive everything and all of the institutions to disappear. On the other end is the traditionalists, who view that nothing needs to be changed, everything is perfect the way it is today. Obviously, the reality is somewhere in between. And I think that the IWA is taking it more towards the first, dragging the people in the conservative camp more towards the camp that says smart contract is the law. But we are a long way away from that. Anyway, so they are trying to put together standards, and this is, of course, a snarky comment that says the nice thing about standards is that there are so many to choose from. So will this become yet another standard that will join the standards graveyard, or will it get adoption? That is a question. We have to wait and watch, even though there are so many so many institutions and bodies that adopt standards. The next slide just sketches out from their website the three things that they're going to work on. One is, they're still going to use the token taxonomy framework for defining tokens and the behavior of tokens. The second is, they're going to do this interwork framework, which, when they have taken it out of the EEA, they basically said, we are going to be technology neutral. That means it's no longer just about Ethereum. It is about technology neutrality, which means any blockchain technology that can be adopted to this new ecosystem can be used to issue, you know, to can be issued, can be used to govern or to automatically issue and trade primary market, settlement, secondary market, you know, all the other corporate actions and economic life cycle events, including retirement or buybacks and so on. But the second aspect is the communication protocols to be defined and connected to the framework components. So I do not know how they are going to define this standard for this framework for such a huge ecosystem. We'll wait and see. And we know that there are existing standards for contracts that are available or being made available for the new economy, including CDM, common domain model by ISDA and others. The second part, the third prong is the analytics framework, where they want to do a privacy-preserving process and data scheme for value-added services on top of the data that is present or reachable from the blockchain, and to do market-driven data reporting on top of it. All very ambitious goals. I get the feeling that we have to wait and watch and see. The next one is, what are we going to do with this new consortium? In the short term, we continue on the token taxonomy framework until we have clarity. That is my view. Of course, we can have other viewpoints. Money and I had a debate about this just now, which will also clarify some of the issues we'll have, which will be the next item on the discussion. That's for now for IWA. If anybody has any, and I'm going to stop sharing the screen, and if anyone has, any comments, it'll be welcome right now.
Just a quick thing. First of all, given the goals you showed for the network, I'll assume, number one, that they would base, in a sense, in this network, all identities on DIDs. I'm guessing that. Of course, we don't know that, but I'm assuming that would, if you really want to have a, I'll call it a peer marketplace, number one. Number two, in your goals, you pointed out data sharing. And so if you're going to do data sharing, in theory, it would be nice if the people that generated the data had ownership over the data. Again, a DID model would support that. And my last thought is just that if this thing is trying to be somewhat neutral on the blockchain platforms, and don't want to spend 5 years developing specifications, it might be there. It would make sense if they would, in a sense, try to reuse some of the work that's already been done in Cactus and Hyperledger Cactus.
Well, even the DID stuff is still in its infancy in terms of adoption.
But not the mechanics of it. I would agree with you. So if you look at widespread, no, it's not. But is it effectively running in production? Yes, it is. And so it's not, I'll call it experimental software at this point. It's production software. And so looking at a DID model, if you will, it's more than just a technology, of course. So when you look at this group and what they're trying to do with currencies, in a sense, or tokens, you look and say, okay, a huge part of this is not the technology. It's really around whatever the governance is going to be, back to your earlier points. You know, what's legal on a smart contract? What are the governance rules? You know, which jurisdictions are you compliant with? There's a million there's more stuff on that side of the fence than there is on the technology side, for sure.
Mani, you have something to add?
No, I think what Jim says is right, spot on. There's a lot more jurisdictional issues and regulatory issues that comes into the play. And that's why we wanted to, you know, narrow down to say, hey, this whatever token we're building must be minimally regulatory compliant. And that's why some of the rules that you put in terms of compliance rules, you know, we focus on as well. So at least we can say, hey, there's an experimentation that, you know, for an institutional marketplace or in a regulated market space is very well applicable. And not only that, we also made it generic enough that the same token can be used for commercial banks to issue their own tokens and interact with their, let's say, peers and their customers. The focus is for only institutional space. When the broader discussions about CBDC issued by central bank or in some sort of that, you know, then retail might come into the picture. In fact, Vipin and I have been going back and forth on, you know, how do you handle retail? That's a big topic. But if we narrow down to institutional market space, it's much more easier to adopt and define, because much of it is all already regulated, and you know, there are rules and frameworks already in place, and so there's a market practice. You just have to apply those practices to, you know, digital token space.
Jim, you were mentioning that there are a lot of things in production for DID adoption. One thing I saw was you know, the whole Canadian BC government wallet.
It's more than the wallet, obviously, but you're right. That what they built, in effect, it's actually pretty interesting, because what they built is, yes, they created a solution for BC government called VON, Verifiable Organizations Network. And in that, they created something called OrgBook. But all of that's based on DIDs and production with Indy Aries wallets and all that stuff. But the bigger thing that they did, which as I looked at it closer, I started to understand it better, is they didn't just build a blockchain solution. What they built is, in a sense, a platform for those kind of solutions, which is pretty cool. So yeah, they took Indy Aries at, in a sense, where it is at this point in development, but they've actually created this thing. So if I wanted to set up an organization, I can create what I call my own org book, using, in a sense, their templates, which is actually pretty cool. And it is running in production, obviously, but the province of Ontario has also, in a sense, been the second organization or government that grabbed what BC did. And they've also created an org book, you know, in a sense, proving the fact that, in a sense, the template that BC had built is usable independently, which is actually pretty cool. So, you know, to me, that's sort of the better story. It's not just that they're doing DIDs in production, which they are, but that they and you've seen the trust, because you wrote the article on that trust over IP framework, which is actually very good that you did for Forbes.
But yeah, I'm a member.
Yeah. Right. So you're intimately familiar with, in a sense, what they've architected. But the point of it is Ontario now has picked it up and created their own org book off of that template, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. When we run the both the TOIP and the Hyperledger Identity Working Group, which I convene, we have seen people like the Kochi, you know, it's a city in southern India. They wanted to implement the org book there. There were people from Indian province, but I also see in the IWA, the Hyderabad, which is a city in India, also smart city group is also involved in this standard setting process. But back to DIDs, other than this org book and other things, what are the other, you know, is there a list of production DID implementations? I mean, I'm only harping on the DID implementations because, as we know, identity is very important for any operations on the blockchain, including the capital markets based operations.
So one big thing about the identity side of it, I would say, is that what I liked about BC, I like two things that they did. Number one, they took the Indy platform for, along with the Aries project for building out identity. Yes, it's DID, and you're right that there's other, I'll call it stacks, supposedly, that could be done in production today that are not based on Indy Aries for DIDs. And I don't know enough on my end, haven't researched them. What I will say is what's nicer about Indy is the fact that Indy comes with the notion of zero knowledge proofs to reduce data sharing and improve privacy, right? So other DID frameworks don't necessarily have ZKP as part of those, for what it's worth. And so when you look at something, especially involving money, in theory, you would like to say, oh yeah, this framework has the ability to really deliver a high degree of privacy. And so it's not just the IDs, but it's the privacy along with it that you get with Indy that to me makes that a great platform choice. But it definitely is not the only one. I know there's, I guess, other ones. If you look at the DID specifications from W3C and so on, there's other companies that are in there. And I'm sure other people are trying to build platforms as well. Just the fact that we have Indian areas farther down the road and it does support ZKP for privacy were the two things I really liked about it for what it was worth.
Yeah, but the ZKP is for the link secret for peer-to-peer wallets exchanging DIDs in order to stop correlation. Anyway, let's not go down that rabbit hole right now because that'll take up the rest of the rest of the meeting. But I wanted to get back to that, that interaction between identity and any other application, including capital markets ones later. Now, the second thing that we wanted to talk about was, okay, before we go to that particular aspect, Kirti had asked about a couple of things. He wanted to propose a insurance work related, to open source insurance, because it has some implications, for example, for custody. The second thing is he was also talking about some kind of a commodity token. So I wanted to ask him to do to talk about what he had in mind.
Thanks, Vipin. So from insurance perspective, the whole idea is that the London market and the company market are currently looking at building something which is more aimed towards the future. So they're trying to solve some traditional problems which are similar to capital markets, both on the buy and the sell side, that you currently face today. One is, in this case, what they're trying to sell is diversification of risk, possibly even call it in the future state, hopefully a risk token, perhaps with attached premium that is paid as a part of the collateralization or risk mitigation process. But I thought that this was an interesting aspect, and some of the basic fundamental structures and framework that we are currently working on could possibly be used in a similar form, even in the insurance market as well. So that was one thought process. The second point that I wanted to kind of bring up to this forum was, yes, we were talking about bonds, we were talking about equity. I think commodity is also possibly a token framework for commodities as well would be possibly interesting. there are several projects in the market where they've tried to do it in the traditional way, but they have failed to a certain extent to make it a full-fledged project, at least even in the real viable sense. So I was thinking these two could possibly pose good contenders. What is a stronger case for insurance is the fact that insurance and capital markets kind of have a convergence at one point, which is called as the insurance-linked securities, which is the next, I would say, niche asset class, which people are trying to bring out to the global markets with a huge possibility of growth within areas such as cat bonds, so which is an interesting prospect in itself. So I thought we could possibly look at it either as either insurance as its own SIG or possibly as a sub project within the capital markets, because it's got, you know, kind of a similar theme associated to a syndicated loan or a bond, and at the same time it's got some relations to the fact that it does link to the investors by the end of the day for certain types of assets which are based on insurance markets. So that's a thought process.
So for the insurance diversification of risk, are those then created, are securities created from them and traded today?
Yes, they are, but they're not, they're over the counter and in special jurisdictions, and it's the market is very limited to very specific areas. So it's an institutional space, to be honest.
Yeah, I can add to that. So in London, we do some kind of insurance brokering, like packaging insurances. It doesn't work like the way other capital markets work in diversifying risk. But there is an element of sort of reinsurance and other packaging. And then there is like inter-broker dealership also between insurance brokers.
Exactly. So most of this process is kind of facilitated by special purpose vehicles by reinsurers who kind of use what is known as a risk transfer contract to kind of generate collateral. And in exchange, they kind of float a catastrophe bond, which has a premium attached to it. Most of this is like over-the-counter style, transaction. But at the same time, the interesting aspect of this is if that is completely manageable over, our distributed ledger, that would be an interesting project to look at.
Okay. I mean, there are all kinds of things like that. I know, for example, in mortgages, the government agencies like Fannie and Freddie and Ginnie are selling off risk transfer bonds because they are actually insurance agencies, in a sense, insuring mortgages. And they are selling it off in regular capital markets. But notwithstanding all of this, the question we come back to in the end is about how best to model and to put in play the e-security using a token taxonomy framework. How far do you go in defining a security, either a bond or a equity, and how much of it can be enforced using a standard-based smart contracts and triggering payments and so on automatically. And this is what IWA is bringing to the table in a sense. So we want to have there, like I said before, there's that debate on whether the traditional methods will take over, I mean, will still continue, or will there be new methods that are based more on fully automated smart contracts. There are many things that argue against that second possibility. Maybe for a small value customer cryptocurrency transactions that can work in terms of the DeFi and so on. But for capital markets as a whole, will that work? I mean, this is the debate that Mani and I were having. And I said that it's going to be some kind of a hybrid model, but in the end, Mani's point I take, which is that in the end, there has to be an entity that needs, that can be held responsible by SEC or FINRA in the United States and other regulatory agencies elsewhere in their jurisdictions. So it is more going to function more as a token administrator, and also the separation of certain functions, like the custody function has to be separated from the other functions. So I just wanted to have, I just wanted to introduce that debate here and see what people thought of that, because it has direct implications on what we are going to work on. And obviously, we are a small group. We are not going to take up all of these vexing questions and get bogged down in them. We are in the business of demonstrating, prototypes based on a smaller footprint. I would like to hear from people about their views on this topic.
I mean, if no one is Satish here, I can go give you kind of my view on it. I think it's kind of good timing. Karen must have seen my email to her detailing. Karen did email me. She was asking me, Satish, what sort of contribution? And I kind of told her pretty much the same. I work with a lot of bodies, and my assessment is there is going to be a marriage. Yes, some sort of marriage. I cannot give you explicitly what that marriage is, but there is going to be this middle ground, which you said, Vipin. So there is going to be a traditional finance market marriage and the crypto world marriage. My view is that it will be forced via the RPA route, robotic process automation route, where I have seen some of these happening in the traditional supply chain, which is actually working. We would do similar sort of contracts. Some legal firms have also started doing this contract, which is way more complicated than, capital market contracts. Before I say anything, people have to understand the problems, right? Then the processes and the tool, which is the Hyperledger in this case, would easily fit in. I have two or three use cases. One use case, the insurance use case we talked about in this meeting. Another is the mortgage and the other aspects, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac sort of aspects, right? Those two probably, Vipin, is the right sort of areas we should take, sort of define the problem and see how the process will fit in there. Obviously, you need to do the ID problem, which is kind of ID onboarding and everything is key to that, right?
Yes, identity is key.
But definitely e-securities and more tokenized e-securities, digitized instrumentations is pretty much to be done. It will standardize ISDA, it will simplify a lot of problems we see in the capital markets. It helps in settlements faster. You are right, custody will be separate, will have to be separate. But then there are ways we can solve the settlement problem, which in cases, some cases is 10, T plus 7 and all. So there is use cases where you would see immediate sort of applications. So you can define that. I call this the PPT framework. What I mean by PPT is not just the slides. It's like the three slides of one problem, two process, and three the technology. I think when we define, say, for an insurance and a mortgage one itself, you would see exactly where it fits in. I can help with that. I can come about, you know, how we can do it.
Yeah, can you put together something very
simple? My PPT kind of three slide, right? What are the problems and how do you think the process have to be refined? And where the tokenization, the whole part of, and there's problems I'm describing, you're not worried about performance. We're not going to store transactions in the chain, right? We're going to score the immutable contracts where, you know, the DLT technology is key to it.
The other thing that we talked about was the fact that there are going to be islands in the sense that many of these new tokens will exist on separate blockchain networks or separate networks. And then the payment itself may happen elsewhere. Payment rails may be separate. So we need some kind of a cross-chain interaction. And the World Economic Forum and others have said that this interoperation will necessarily happen using cryptographically sealed messages. So I have, along with Mani, started to define what a cross-chain settlement instruction would look like. It is a basic message, and we'll put together something that will pass to the list. But unfortunately, like we said, we are, you know, our resources are limited. So we have to work on smaller problems and things that do not involve lifting and shifting the entire world. We are just going to focus on something that we can actually make an either contribution, either in terms of code and a sample POC, and then note the problems to the standard bodies like IWA or TTF, and then they can try to address that. They have huge amount of resources, and they are, you know, multi-billion dollar companies participating in them. So, anything else? Otherwise, we can close down the call.
Can I add something about the ISDA CDM?
Oh, yes, of course.
It's part of this whole standards that, you know, initiative is going on in, you know, multiple different dimensions, from tokens to what now we talk about IWA. In the financial capital markets, there is, you know, there's a big effort for the past 2 years in standardizing the entire business process flow of capital markets. I'm part of this entire, I'm part of this ISDA CDM working group. We started off with derivatives, and now, you know, moved down the chain now, and we are addressing digital assets. In fact, I also included Vipin in one of those calls with ISDA. So we are now trying to standardize the digital assets and the handling of the digital assets under the CDM. So you have a well-defined contract specification from a capital market specific perspective, the life cycle, and also a legal definition of these contracts. So those things cover, but it's purely a business definition, and it gives you a good data model to work with. Most of the regulators are coming on board. We pretty much probably will see that as the common standard to apply any digital projects within capital markets, whether it's on DLT or not. It has got, you know, very key relevance. Even within an organization, CDM can play a significant role, eliminating a lot of those reconciliation problems. They run through different systems. On the digital asset side, we are trying to, you know, put together a framework of how do we do this thing the entire life cycle, there are a couple of things missing, which is on the issuance side and on this on the actual settlement side, which are, you know, the traditional settlement is not what we are looking at. So we are working with with ISDA to even define those business processes as well. With that, we should have a very good framework for digital assets. So, you know, hopefully we would be able to see that in the next, let's say, couple of months, that standards will start evolving. And once the working group accepts the proposals, that will become the standard for handling the entire life cycle of digital assets. So we're hoping to get this thing done in the next few months.
Mani, a quick question. Would it be possible for me to kind of get involved in some of these process-related conversations, or possibly understand, like, you know, some of the high-level requirements and design thought process that you're currently looking at? I think that's where my interest lies as well. So I would be really happy to kind of support you if anything is required from my side.
Yeah, definitely. You know, maybe first we can take it offline and, you know, maybe we can understand a bit more, and then sure, we can bring it back to the committee, you know, or the group when, you know, with a proper proposal as to what, again, CDM itself is today is still controlled by ISDA. ISDA represents International Swap Derivatives Association, you know, so, but they are opening it up. It is the CDM itself is open source. Anyone can use the entire infrastructure. And now they're bringing in other standards bodies covering different parts of the capital markets also into the fold. So you would have one standard rather than multiple competing standards, which would not work in when you start going to the digitization phase of capital markets.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mani.
Mani, quick question. So have they standardize the taxonomy then? I mean, is the taxonomy still kind of a major standard, but you know there are other standards also. Have they trying to bring them all together?
So in the taxonomy is still based upon ISDA taxonomy, although they're taken inputs from ISO 20022 and, you know, typically FPML, the whole CDM is based upon FPML anyway to start with. Mm-hmm. And then some other things from FIX as well. But remember, this is only a business process. It's not a technical implementation, no workflows, nothing. It just simply defines a data model. It's up to the implementers to actually, you know, put it on, use this standard data model and then build on top of it. So no protocols or messaging protocols or workflows are part of the CDM. It defines the business events, and for each event, it defines exactly precisely to say how these events are represented in a CDM, which is nothing but a JSON. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, it links the provides the lineage, which is what is lacking in the current data standards today, which is to say, you know, you did your issuance and then you did a trading and then you did an allocation, netting and settlement. We can actually walk back from settlement all the way back to the issuance because of their lineages. So, which is very important when it comes to compliance and you know, audit trails and et cetera. So none of the other data standards support that. This is the first time we are attempting, and I think it's pretty well working at this point.
So the lineage is implemented purely using DLT, or is a combination of the DLT plus DLT. Yeah. I mean, what I mean is the traceability of one to the other is using some kind of a linkage
between the, you take the hash, the entire the economic parameters of the trade or whatever the business messages, and you take a standard hash and then you include the hash as part of the message. And much like how you do it in a blockchain, except that you conceptually take the blockchain concept, but you implement it as a data model. And that's what gives you that tight linkages or the lineage between various business events.
And not only the hash, but also some kind of a cryptographic sealing, right?
The cryptographic sealing is on top. That's up to the parties whether they're going to put through sealing. If it's between two parties, they can use a DLT or a blockchain or even simple cryptographic handshake. Or if it is internal between two different desks or two different divisions, then they can just use standard databases. So there is no there's no requirement as to how the cryptography is going to work. All that they want to guarantee is, from a data model perspective, the business flow and the order of this flow is guaranteed in order to make sure that there is immutability in the whole process.
Yeah, I mean, but using a standard database, there is no immutability because
you have the hash.
If I go and alter the both the document and the initial hash,
right? That's why I said it's
then I can.
It's primarily for internal usages for existing trading platforms. You know, you're talking about legacy platforms that are not going to be able to accommodate or be able to migrate to the new DLT infrastructure. So they can continue to use this the data model for their own within an organization. Intra-organization, when you really are talking about true smart contract, yes, you need cryptography on top of CDN.
Okay. So we are coming to the end of this session. If anybody else wants to say anything in the next minute or so, please go ahead. I wanted like Elena, who's from ExactPro, to say something about the data sources, you know, which are also very important here. Maybe in the next meeting she can provide more detail about this, because that's another aspect of valuation, and IWA is going to be focused on some of that stuff. Anyway, it's been a great meeting. Unless anybody else has anything to say in the next minute or so, closing remark.
Thank you, Vipin. The meeting was great, really informative. So thank you so much.
Just quickly, one from Mani. I mean, if we can sync up offline, I'm more interested in sort of some of your comments. So I definitely would like to understand much better.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you can shoot us an email and then we can catch up.
I have the. I don't know whether I'm added into the group, but I'll find out through Vipin. Maybe.
You can register yourself on the list, Capital Markets. list.hyperledger.org, and you look for Capital Markets SIG. Mm-hmm. And it's free to join. Everybody's free to join and contribute.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. It's been a pleasure. I'll try to put together a minutes of this very freewheeling meeting. We had a couple of themes. Thanks again. And I'm going to end the meeting, which will end everybody's meeting. Sorry. Until next time, Junji will present and